Well, as she said, I'm Audrey Lafley. I'm a University of Maine master's student in the School of Food and Agriculture, and I'm excited to talk to you about the project that I worked on with Dr. Susan Eric and Dr. Ellen Mallory. And basically, we're evaluating root effects on the CO2 flushed from laboratory dried and re-wetted soils. So basically, what the CO2 flush is that you take soils into your lab, you dry them down, and then you re-wet them, and there's a pulse of CO2 that's released in that 24 hours. And we've been talking a lot about soil health indicators, and so the CO2 flush kind of indicates the biological activity of your soil. But there's still there's a need to understand the biological activity of your soil and not just the physical and chemical parameters that we talked about earlier. You have to look at the big picture, and the CO2 flush could be potentially used to help evaluate the microbial activity in your soil. However, there's still questions that remain when we're talking about the CO2 flush. For example, can root growth influence the magnitude of the CO2 flush? Therefore, are we not just seeing a microbial effect? Are we seeing an effect from roots being in the soil? And also, if you measure the CO2 flush at different times during the season, are you going to have different releases? And so can understanding these factors improve the use of a CO2 flush as a soil health indicator? And this leads us into our hypothesis. Our main hypothesis was that the CO2 flush will be higher in soils from planted plots than in soils from bare plots. And basically, we had planted plots versus bare plots because planted plots will have more root growth than bare plots. And also, one of the things that we were thinking about, these planted plots with the root growth will likely have more soluble organic carbon because of root exudates. And finally, we were believing that the microbial biomass would be higher in our planted plots versus our bare plots. Because again, of like the roots creating the rhizosphere effect, where they have a little bit more microbial biomass. And so our approach to try to answer this question is we set up a 2x2 factorial design where we looked at planted plots and we looked at bare plots. And we also sampled at two times during this growing season. We sampled in August and July, and we had 20 plots total. 10 of those plots were bare, 10 of those plots were planted, and we sampled 5 bare plots at one time and 5 planted plots to kind of look at each individual plot there. And when we sampled, we also looked at the root biomass because we wanted to make sure that we were getting, in fact, more root biomass in our planted plots than our bare plots. We looked at the microbial biomass, and we looked at the soluble organic carbon, as well as the CO2 flush, which is what we are trying to evaluate. We're located in Maine. We did our experiment, our field experiment, at the Maine Agricultural and Forest Experiments Station at Rogers Farm in Old Town, Maine, which is that little diamond right there. The crop that we used was barley. We fertilized our field before we planted our barley. We planted our barley in May, and we established our bare plots in June. And how we established our bare plots is that when our barley was about 3 inches high, we went through and we hand weeded those plots so that there were no barley left. And we continued to hand weed those plots until it was time to collect them to keep that pressure on those plots and make sure that there wasn't any root growth in them. Basically, this is the soil characterization of our location. In Maine, we typically have more acidic soils, so if you notice the pH is 6. Our organic matter was 4%, and we had a fine sandy loam, a very low clay percent of 10%. And when we went to sample, we used two different techniques to sample. To sample for our roots, we used a bucket auger so that we could get a large amount of the root mass, and to sample to look at our other factors, the CO2 flush, the root bio, sorry, the CO2 flush, the soluble organic carbon, and the microbial biomass, we used small diameter cores, and we took 10 small diameter cores per plot. And because we looked at two different times, we recorded the temperatures of our soils at that point. So one of the things that you can notice is our soil temperature for our bare plots is a little bit higher than our planted plots. One of the things to notice is the percent moisture. The percent moisture in our bare plots was higher consistently compared to our planted plots. And if you look at the August sampling date, our percent moisture in our planted plot was only 9.7%. So it's really, really dry. And since we were looking at several different things, these are our general laboratory procedures once we got that soil out, harvested. So to look at our dissolved organic carbon, we used water to extract it, and then we analyzed that on the Chemins du TOCV. To look at the microbial biomass, we did a microwave method. And basically, you compare the microwaved samples to your non-microwave samples, and we extracted that with the potassium sulfate, and we analyzed that with the Chemins du TOC again. For the CO2 flush, we dried our soils at 40 degrees Celsius, because you don't want to dry too hot, because we're trying to look at that microbial activity. We placed the 40 grams in sealable mason jars, which you can see right there. They have a septum on top that we're able to sample from, so we can measure that headspace gas. And we measured it over a couple intervals and also at that 24-hour period. And there is a commercially available test through Woods End Laboratories in Maine that measures the 24-hour CO2 flush. They call it the CO2 burst test. So we also did that to compare our results to. And finally, to kind of understand what was going on for the root biomass, we soaked our soils, and then we sieved our soils, and we extracted our, the roots visually. So for the results, I'm just going to quickly go over the root biomass, the microbial biomass, the soluble organic carbon, and finally the CO2 flush. So it did seem to work, our planted versus bare plots, to develop that root biomass. In the planted plots, you can see in the sieve there's quite a bit more roots in there. There really isn't much roots in that bare plot, just some field debris. And whatever roots I was able to extract from the bare plots, when we actually dried them down, it didn't really register on our scale. The planted plots, as you can see, they were greater than our bare plots. And there wasn't much of a difference between our collection times for our soils. The microbial biomass, we found when we did it as a 2x2 factorial, we found that there was a significant difference in microbial biomass between planted and bare. We didn't see a significant difference between our collection times. If we just looked at the individual dates and our microbial biomass, we found that the most significant the August sample was actually more significant than the bare, where the July sample was not as significant. And our soluble organic carbon. So we measured the soluble organic carbon in both the field moist and the dried. We measured it in the field moist because that's what's available to your microbes in your field at that moment. And we measured it in the dried because that's what's going to be available to them in the jar. As we can see here, both of those show that there is significantly more soluble organic carbon in our planted plots versus our bare plots. And again, we didn't see much of a difference between the collection times. So finally, now looking at the CO2 flush, that 24-hour CO2 flush, we did find that we had a root effect. The CO2 flush in the planted plots was significantly greater than the CO2 flush in the bare plots. And we also see that There wasn't, between our collection dates, a significant difference between the two of them. When we ran them and looked at the Solvita test, we found that our results were similar to the Solvita test that they have. Both of them, again, showed that there was a significant difference in our planted plots versus our bare plots. Again, there wasn't really a significant difference between our collection time. I lost my 1 second. That's okay. Solvita characterizes their flush in low, medium, and high, and all of these values here fall within that medium range. So even though there is a significant difference in our planted and bare plots, it's not necessarily orders of magnitude different for the CO2 flush. So basically, in summary, although the CO2 flush was significantly higher from planted plots versus bare plots, the effect was relatively minor. Our LICOR results were similar to the commercially available CO2 flush test from Woods End Laboratories in Mount Vernon, Maine. And our planted plots had consistently higher soluble organic carbon in compared to our bare plots. And finally, the microbial biomass C was higher in our planted plots compared to our bare plots, especially in August. These are my references, and I believe I have time for some questions.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. He raised first, so.
I saw that you have more moisture content in bare plots than planted plots.
Yes. Yes, we did have more moisture in our bare plots than our planted plots. And one of the things that we're talking about doing to try to look at just whether or not roots are the main driver, we're talking about doing a pot experiment where we can then control that moisture. But because the test is kind of practical, it's being out in the field, we wanted to see if we could capture a root effect in the field versus doing a pot experiment first, to see if there was an effect.
The mean values for respiration that you got from the LICOR device in the field versus the Solvita test that would be in the lab are unbelievably similar.
Yes.
Which is, those tests are obviously completely different.
Yeah.
What were your levels of uncertainty? What were the error bars like?
That's a good question, and I don't have that in front of me right now, so I apologize, but I can get you that information if you want to come to me afterwards. We did, for calculating the, for going from the LICOR, what we did was we measured over time a couple intervals, and then we found the area, we found a line that fit that, and we did the area under the curve, and that's what we used to calculate our value there for that. They are really similar. I agree. Yes.
I could maybe contribute to that.
Yeah.
There's a little confusion there that you did the test exactly in the same way.
Yes.
You used 40 grams, you re-wetted it, so they actually did them the same way. Two separate jars, of course.
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised that the results are similar because we calibrate Solvita test against standard CO2 just like anybody else does. But you refer to it as a field test. And that's another application.
Yes, and
thank you.
I arrived literally 2 minutes before your presentation was over.
Okay.
So disregard that.
Sorry, I was just like, they're really similar. All right.
Hey, go ahead.
Yeah.
Doesn't the Solvita test give you
yes. For the Solvita test,
yes.
So they have a colorimetric reader. So you have a colorimetric paddle that you put in your jar and you seal that. And when you take it out, you can read it and it gives you the values of the CO2.
Colors.
Yeah, yeah. So it tells you how much is in the jar. Yes.
Did you flush?
I did flush the headspace one time at the 12-hour mark. Because we wanted to make sure that it didn't accumulate too much CO2 in the jar to kind of have a repressive effect on that release. Do we still have time?
You have about 15 seconds.
I have 15 seconds. I see your hand. I'll be here if you want to talk to me.
Good question. The 24 hours for CO2 measurement is pretty short. I wonder if you extend it to 4 days and you will see any difference.
We did go beyond the 24-hour mark. We did take measurements beyond that. But because the test that we were looking at is evaluating it, the flush after the 24-hour mark, that's what we focused on for this presentation.
Okay. All right, thank you.